even preaching, God, speak to my heart. God wants to speak to our hearts. He wants to move in our lives. We're going to find something here, a particular passage of Scripture. You got to understand the church, the Romans were, the Christians at Romans or in Rome were under very much persecution. A lot of them did not understand the gospel. A lot of them did not understand. They were lost. And Paul had to, in chapter 1 through 3, Paul showed them their lost state, their need for Christ. He showed them later on in those chapters and all the way up through chapter 6 how they were justified by faith. They were justified and because they were declared righteous. We find here in chapter 8, Paul was speaking to, again, the people. A lot of times we see in our Christian life and a lot of times we see around us and people are living in defeat. I hear about so many pastors and so many people that are preaching God's word have been defeated. Have been conquered, as you would say, by sin. As a born-again believer, we are not to be conquered by sin. I see around us so much, and even in my own daily life, why am I dragging my head? Why do I have to live my life in defeat? We don't have to. That's the glorious thing about what God did in His Word to us and gave to us. Obviously, you already know where I'm headed with a passage of Scripture where we're coming to. It's a very well-known passage of Scripture I've been teaching to the young people. And we've been coming to these well-known... Actually, I've taught this passage of Scripture, not the message that I'm preaching tonight. But I taught on this passage of Scripture for 2 weeks. I was telling them we come to these well-known passages of Scriptures that we read constantly and constantly. On average, a person reads their New Testament more than they read their Old Testament. I don't understand that, but that's the case. We come to this passage of Scripture, we find that Paul is working and talking to these people that are under persecution, to these people that were in great distress. You got to understand, Rome was burnt at this time by Nero. The king at this time was putting persecution on Christians. These are new born again believers in the first century, and they're coming to this pot being almost, as you would say, defeated. Paul understood that as being a preacher, as being a gospel witness, as being a, as you would say, a pastor type form, an evangelist, he saw this happening to people. In America, we see that people are just living in defeat. We ought not to live in defeat. That's not the life that God has given to us. God has not given to us a defeated life. I'm talking about a defeated life in sin, a defeated life in things that take us away from the Word of God. Yes, we are defeated, meaning the life is defeated for us through Jesus Christ, and we'll see that here in a little bit. We don't have to live a defeated life. Many people in this Christian life, they live their life defeated. God does not want us to live defeated. If you have your Bibles, in Romans chapter 8, we're going to start at verse 28 and read on through the end of the chapter. The Bible starts here in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. A very well-known verse, quite a few verses we know. Some of us can even recite it. We don't have to look at our Bible for this. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. The Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, He also called, and whom He called, He also justified, and whom He justified, He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather than that He is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that love us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you go back to your Bibles, we just read it in verse 37. I want to preach to you a sermon this night. We are more than conquerors. Let us pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you so much that it abideth and liveth forever. Thank you that we know when the word of God is being opened that you want to speak to our hearts. I pray for each individual in here, not only myself, that you'll speak to our hearts today. Father, I pray that we've come with expecting to hear from you. Lord, do something in the midst of your people today. Father, hide me behind the cross. Help me to lift up Christ and you draw all men to yourself. Father, I pray that you'll give me strength. Help me now, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. I'd like to preach to you this sermon tonight. We are more than conquerors. What does this mean that we are more than conquerors? Well, it literally means that we have surpassed victory. We have nothing that can compare to the conqueror that we have as a born-again believer. Nothing can compare to what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Nothing can compare to that. Nothing at all. We are more than conquerors. Who? Why? In Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors. And God shows us some things and gives us some things in the Word of God because God does not want to leave us empty. God always gives us something from the Word of God that may apply to our lives. And a lot of times it's practical application. And you might think today, Paul, you're being pretty redundant on these points when I give them to you. But understand, sometimes we don't hear things. I heard a preacher say this. I think it was Bobby Robertson said this. Y'all know Bobby Robertson. He's not too far from here. He said this. Most people don't hear something until they've heard it the third time. So I'm not going to be that redundant. But some things you might hear in this message is pretty redundant. But it's Christ that's speaking through the penman of Paul, the Holy Spirit of God speaking. And he pens these words that we don't have to live in defeat. We are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. We don't have a lift. We're not a defeated foe. Though Satan is a defeated foe, and we understand that. Yeah, I love this saying. I don't know if you heard this before. When Satan reminds you of your past, you just remind him of his future. Because it is certain. It is done. It is pinned down in the Word of God that he's going to be cast into the lake of fire forever being gone. He's going to, what torment he's done on this earth, he'll receive that twice fold in heaven. Or in hell, not heaven. In hell. God has given to us this passage of scripture that Paul was trying to remind these Christians that were at Rome, that though this persecution, though these trials and tribulations are coming in your life, you don't have to live defeated. We don't have to live defeated as a born again believer. Number one, I want you to see we are more than conquerors through sanctification process. A lot of us doesn't like to go through sanctification. Yes, we are justified by faith. We are born again. We have been declared righteous. But there's a process from the day you are born again to the day of your last breath or when Christ returned. It's a process called sanctification. In the book of Romans, we find that periodically from chapter 6 all the way on to chapter 10, we're talking about this word sanctification. It never stops. Look in verse 29. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Don't get to this verse and say we're talking about predestination. The reason why the word predestination is in here is because of God's foreknowledge. We see that it defines it there, foreknowledge. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. This is my point, to be conformed to the image of his son. There's a process that we go through. It's called sanctification. A lot of times we don't like to go through this refining process. I remember as a welder, and you would weld different types of material. We say brass, and a lot of people don't understand brass, but when you weld brass, there's so much impurities in that weld or in that metal, and as you're welding, it all comes out. That's the same thing that God uses with sanctification. It's a firing process in our lives that God is trying to get things out of our lives that He doesn't want us to have. He's trying to conform us to the image of Christ. A lot of times we find things coming into our life because God's allowing them to come in our life. He wants to bring us to a better understanding of Christ and conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. We are constantly being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. If you stop, you're not going through the sanctification process. God is constantly bringing us through trials, as we say, tribulations in our life. I was talking to somebody this morning, and it seems to me when I was in Bible college, I was teaching about this morning, when I was in Bible college, it seemed like for almost 2 years, I went through the same trials for 2 whole years. It's like, God, what are you doing? It's like every time I come to this part, you're trying to do this, and I see what you're doing. But speak to my heart. What is happening here? And a lot of people don't like talking about this, but it was finances. What I was, as you would say, putting before God was worrying about my finances. I went to a Bible college where I was paying $1,000 a month in school. Well, being a Bible college student, that's a lot of money. When you're working 25, 30 hours a week and really can't at that time support. But God taught me a lesson after that second year when I went through that trial. God taught me that I was putting the finances and my other responsibilities above Him. It wasn't until I got through and understood what He was doing in my heart after going through so many trials of that same exact thing. I never went through a trial after that. I'm not saying that God had blessed me extremely abundantly. Oh, it was still hard. There were still times where I had no money at all. But I learned what God was teaching me. That was to trust Him. A lot of times we come to God and say, God, why am I going through this? Why is this happening in my Christian life? Why is this? Why is this? Why is this? And God is saying, because you're not learning. You haven't learned the first time that you went through it. And it's not until you learn it, He's not going to stop. Why? Because that's the very thing that God does not want in your life. He's trying to try you by fire. He's trying to bring you and conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. God wants us to be the image of Jesus Christ. Number two, we are more than conquerors through sanctification process. You don't have to fail through trials and tribulations. You can conquer those. God says you are more than conquerors. Through trials and tribulations in your life, you don't have to fail. You don't have to sin against God's holiness and righteousness through trials. Because we are more than conquerors. Number two, we are more than conquerors through God's security. Look at verse 31. What shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? Now understand, this is something that's a question going out, but God answers it through that question. If God be for us, who can be against us? To me, that gives me security. To me, that knowing that God is on my side, all those lesser fears are not fears anymore. Knowing that I'm secured in Christ, through Christ Jesus, and God is for me, I can be more than a conqueror. I have the victory over victories because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if my wife will be mind me saying this, but about a year ago this time, God had brought my wife and I to this position where I lost my job. I had got laid off. And I had called my wife. I said, honey, I hate to tell you, you know, this has just happened. They told us at work, I was even telling my wife all the overtime that we were getting ready to have. And then that Friday, they laid a whole bunch of us off. Like, hold up, you said that we were secured for this amount of time, and then you turn around and lie to us? And so I called my wife and I had told her, I said, listen, honey, I just want you to know that I just lost my job. My wife, she couldn't handle it anymore. She didn't have that sense of security anymore. Though she was working a little part-time job, bringing in a little bit, it wasn't much, but she was working a part-time job. She lost, and at that time I had to say, honey, we got to understand that God is in this. I had to be the husband in the situation and say, honey, God is trying to do something in our hearts and our lives through this. He's trying to get us to trust in Him. Did I tell you that I never lost a paycheck? Why? Because I trusted and I relied, and my security was not on any man. My security was not on things. My security was not in a paycheck. But my security was because God is for me. I don't have to worry about anything else. I don't have to worry about defeat coming into my life. Why? Because I know that God is for me. If God is for us, who can be against us? The Bible says. Yes, we have a, as you would say, an adversary. He is called the devil. He is a defeated foe. You got to understand that the devil's already defeated. It's been determined what's going to happen to the devil. All he's trying to do is get you to be defeated. If he can defeat you, he's worth everything. That's what he wants to do, is to defeat us. As a born-again believer, he is trying to work in our lives, and he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows us and our habits and what we do every day, and their thought life. He doesn't know what we are thinking. He doesn't know how, if we pray to God, not through our lips but through our minds, and we pray to God in our hearts. He doesn't know that stuff. Only what he speaks and what we speak and what we do, he sees. He's not omnipotent. He's not all-knowing. He's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere at all times. Yes, he goes to and fro in the earth, but he's not everywhere at all times. He's already a defeated foe. And yes, we have an adversary, the devil. They call him in Revelations that he's the accuser of the brethren. He stands before God right now accusing each one of us, trying to bring a reproach upon our names. In Hebrews, you know, we go through a lot of things in our life. We go through a lot of trials and a lot of tribulations. But we can have security that God is for us. We don't have to face it on our own. We don't have to live this life on our own. Why? Because God is with us. Even what we go through, God feels what we, or knows what we go through. Even when the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be with, we have not an high priest which cannot, which is a negative, be touched with our feelings of our infirmities. He feels what we are going through. He knows exactly what we are going through. He knows what trials and tribulations are going to come into your life. Why? Because of his foreknowledge. He knows what he's doing. He has a process that he is doing. He has a purpose. He has a plan for your life. And a lot of times we get conquered because we allow these circumstances or these situations to bring us to this place of defeat. God does not want us to be a defeated foe. Number three, we are more than conquerors. Look at verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? We are more than conquerors with God's abundant supply. Listen to that. Did you read that at the very? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God abundantly supplies every need that we have. God abundantly supplies. I'm not just talking about physical needs. I'm not just talking about financial needs. I'm talking about spiritual needs. I'm talking about things that he doesn't want us to have in our life that he is trying to refine us through. A lot of times we come to God and we bring all our requests to him and we say, God, why are you not providing this? A lot of times God providing us is him withholding from us. A lot of times we pray things that we really do not need in our Christian life. I remember times in Bible college praying for certain things. And now I look back on it and I'm saying, God, thank you for not giving me that. I saw where that's going. Now I see, though I was upset that you didn't give it to me at the time, I see now where it would have led. God sometimes doesn't give to us, and that is his abundant supply. His abundant supply for us is to give us all things freely, and that's through Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't have to be a defeated foe. We got God's abundant supply on our lives. He freely gives to us all things. He freely gives to us all things. We are more than conquerors because God's abundant supply. We are more than conquerors through God's sight. What does that word mean, sight? If you turn your Bibles to, you're there, verse 33. Who shall lay anything on to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. God has declared us righteous. Though in the sight of other men, though in the sight of everybody else, we might be considered a crazy person. Though in the sight of this world, they may see us and they're like, why are you doing the things? Why are you so devoted to this person? In God's sight, we are justified. In God's sight, we are declared righteous. Who can put anything to our charge because we are considered God's elect? Nobody can. We don't have to be a defeated foe. We can be a more than a conqueror through God's abundant sight. God is always overshadowing us. God sees everything that we do. Nothing is hid from God. The things that we think about in our mind, the things that we say, God sees. I remember I was teaching a group of young people in the back. I was telling them, did you know that God sees everything? Even the things that you do in the darkest hour of your life. Those times that you're at home and you close the door and I saw one of their faces and they're like, she was like, wait, God's seeing me? She didn't understand that God was everywhere. She didn't understand that God had overshadowed us as born-again believers, as Christians. God's watching everything that we do, everything that we say, everything about our lives. God sees. If God sees everything in our life and He still declares us righteous, we don't have to be defeated though. Why? Because God is the one that justifies. God is the one that's declared us righteous. Yes, we are not perfect. We have this sinful body. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. But yet that old man is still with us. That old nature is still lingering on. I was teaching the young people one time about that verse. And you know, have you ever seen a runner when they were practicing? They have a big old parachute on their back. Basically, in our Christian life, that's the same thing with our old flesh. It's still tagging along. Old sin still coming to mind. Things that are desiring of the flesh still come in mind. Paul even talks about in this portion of scripture, the beginning of it, not to be living in the flesh. We're supposed to be living by the Spirit. We don't have to be defeated foes. We don't have to live a defeated life. We are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. God gives us an abundant supply. And God overshadows our life. And He sees everything that we call. And He still declares us righteous because He is a holy and just God. And He cannot go on back on His word. God declares us righteous. Number 5. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. That's it. It's the whole message. We don't need anything else because we got Jesus Christ. Those things, I was just trying to help you in your Christian life. Those things helped me in my Christian life to really understand why I'm here. The Bible says that we are being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. God allows us to go through things in our Christian life. God allows us to go through trials and tribulations in our Christian life to conform us to the image of Christ. We don't have to be a defeated foe because the Bible says if we are in Jesus Christ, that means if you have confessed your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God lives and dwells inside you. Because of that, you are more than a conqueror. You don't have to live a defeated life anymore. We don't have to live a defeated life. Yes, we have a defeated foe that is trying to come after us and trying to destroy us. Yes, we got God's abundant supply on our life. God freely gives to us. God overshadows us. He sees everything that we do, and He still declares us righteous. God also, He is always with us. He gives us eternal security. We don't have to worry about all the lesser fears because God is for us. Many times I see more Christians today defeated than anything else because they don't understand that they are more than conquerors. And when we understand that we are more than conquerors, we can go through anything God puts us through. Anything that comes into our lives, we can say that we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your word tonight.